The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
In the name of Jesus, amen. This is probably going to be a pretty short sermon. It may or may not hit the target because it's been a rather busy week for me, and I have not had time to adequately prepare for this sermon. But it basically comes down, I think, to a commentary in the words of our Lord Jesus Christ upon the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods," which the Catechism explains as we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. If you want to throw in the third commandment as well, that's okay. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, which means we should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and His word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Our Lord Jesus Christ says toward the conclusion of His teaching in today's gospel reading, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." And then He nails it, "You cannot serve God and money." In the Gospel of St. Luke, our Lord speaks a lot about money. And that is quite appropriate because our sinful hearts attach themselves to money and the things that money can buy. Now, God gives us the money that we have. He gives us the abilities to work for it and earn it. And that is a good gift from God. But so many times, we sinners forget God. We leave Him out of the equation as the one who gives the gift. And our focus is upon the gift. And so we strive and strive to accumulate more money so we can accumulate more possessions, so we can accumulate more leisure time. And then we run up the bills, so we need to accumulate more money so we can accumulate more possessions, so we can have vacations in fancy places. Now, there's nothing wrong with vacations or anything like that. But when our hearts are set upon money and the things money can provide, we will never be satisfied because the sinful nature says, "If I get this, I'll be happy. If I get that, then I'll be happy." And our hearts never rest, as St. Augustine says, until they rest in God. So in today's gospel reading, Jesus tells a story about a rich man who had a manager who took care of all his possessions. And the rich man heard that charges were made against his manager, that he was wasting the rich man's possessions. So the rich man calls him in and says to him, "What is this I hear about you? You've been wasting my possessions? You've been lining your own pockets with them? Turn in the account of your management. I want to see the books now because, guy, you're no longer my manager. You've lost your job." The manager has kind of a place of status as the rich man's steward. So he's puzzled. He asks himself. He's worried. "What am I going to do? My master has taken the management away from me. Hey, I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm used to sitting behind a desk. And I'm ashamed, someone of my stature going out in the streets and begging. What am I going to do?" So he thinks and he ponders, and finally he comes up with what he's going to do when he's removed from his management so that people will receive him as a friend into their homes. So he calls his master's debtors in one by one and says, "Okay, how much do you owe my master?" One fella says, 100 measures of oil. "Okay, here's what the master's going to do for you. Take your bill and sit down, and let's cross out that 100 measures and write in 50. You only owe him 50 measures of oil, but got to pay it now." So takes place. It's what happens. Another comes in. "How much do you owe?" 100 measures of wheat. The manager says to him, "Okay, take your bill and let's cross out the 100 and write down 80. You pay the 80. And so you see, what this dishonest manager, as Jesus describes him, what he's doing is he's getting his master's debts back, at least in part. Maybe the master had written them off as bad debts or something. But in reducing the amount of debt owed, he's making friends for himself among the master's debtors. Well, the master hears about this, and he is delighted. He commends the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. And Jesus says, "For the sons of this world are more shrewd, more prudent, more wise in dealing with their own generation, that is, the other sons of this world, people who live for money, etc., than the sons of light are." So I tell you, Jesus says, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. Wow, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Are you a little puzzled by what Jesus is saying here? Jesus is holding up a dishonest manager as an example for us who have faith in Christ to follow? I'm scratching my head on that one, and maybe you should be too. Let me tell you something. Jesus is not giving God's blessing to dishonesty in matters of money or finance. What he's doing is saying, okay, you know, there are people in the world who know how to make money, who know how to close a deal, who know how to work things to their own advantage. But what about you? What about you who follow me? Where is your heart? What is it set upon? Is your focus upon the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God's grace and mercy in me? The one who died on the cross for you? The one who has forgiven you your sins by the holy precious blood that I shed by my innocent death and sufferings? Do you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and trust that all these things will be added to you as well? Or do you say, I'm saved. Now I'm going to focus on more important things. But Jesus says there are no more important things in our salvation. Because money and the things it can buy, they'll be eaten up by rust and moth. They'll corrode. They'll pass away. You can't take it with you. You can't serve two masters, Jesus says. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and money. One has to take the first place. I was made aware before the service that our closing hymn, well, it's got two different settings, two different melodies. I chose 784, thinking it was the more familiar tune, but there's also 783. Now, here's the deal, what we're going to do in the closing hymn. Those of you who are familiar with the tune for 784, sing that. And those of you who are more familiar with 783, sing that. And we'll all do it together, and we will make a joyful cacophony to the noise, and it's going to sound terrible, and we'll go, ah! That's like trying to serve two masters. It does not work. We either sing one tune or the other. But if we try to sing both simultaneously, we can't do it. So it is with God and money. One comes first. Now, the Pharisees loved money. They heard all these things Jesus had to say, and they ridiculed him. They mocked him. And here's what he said to them. And here's what he says to the Pharisee in you and the Pharisee in me. You are those who justify yourselves before men. In other words, you pray before other people so they will see you praying. You make a show of giving alms and providing for the poor and doing good works so that other people will see you and say, what a fine Christian he is. What a wonderful, loving person she is. It's not the way it works. We may think we can make other people see us as good and holy and righteous, but it does not work because you know what? God knows our hearts. And the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? The prophet says. The Lord God looks into our hearts just as Jesus knew what was in the heart of men and would not entrust himself to them. Look into your heart and you will see an idolater. Look into your sinful heart and you will see a despiser of God's word and a despiser of God's commandments. That's the way it is because of the sinful nature that we still have, despite the faith in Christ that the Holy Spirit has given us through the gospel. The heart, sinful heart, wants to have it both ways. God and money. God and respect among humans. God and status. God and wealth. God and a nice home. God and a fancy car. And again, there's nothing wrong with that, having a nice home or a nice car, but that's not where your life is. Your life is in Jesus and in Jesus alone. So, do you love what God hates? Because Jesus says, can't love God and money. What is exalted among men is something good, and to be desired above all else is an abomination in the sight of God. An abomination, basically that means it makes God want to puke. Which is it? Which do you love? Well, here's the secret. You know, Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, you've heard that name, I believe. You've heard that passage of Scripture. It's going to be part of the gospel reading for Henry's memorial service this afternoon. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And how does he take that sin away? It's not just by going to the cross, although that's essential. And for that to happen, he had to be born. God, the second person of the Godhead, becoming man, so he has a human body like us. And then he had to keep the fullness of the law for us. He had to love the Lord, his God, with all his heart, soul, and strength. But then he becomes a perfectly innocent, holy, spotless victim on the cross for you, in your place, to atone for your sins. And there on the cross, for the space of 3 hours or so, when the sky grows dark and the earth shakes, and people are wondering, what in the H is going on? Because actually, hell was going on. Because you see, Christ became the sinner in your place there on the cross. He, the holy innocent one, became the sinful one. He became sin for us, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, so that we might become the righteousness of God. And God hated his own son as the sinner. God condemned his own son because the sins of all the world, each and every one of your sins, were heaped upon him. God punished his son for you, and he endured hell for you. He became an abomination in the sight of God for you. And thanks be to God, we know it didn't stop there, because right before Jesus dies, he says, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And he says, it is finished, it is accomplished, it is all done. And because it is all done, and because you have heard the gospel, because the Holy Spirit has worked through the gospel to bring you to faith, to give you a new nature, to make you a new creation in Christ, because you love the Word that makes you alive. Do you know what you do? You love the thing that God hated there on the cross. You love and trust in and have faith in the one who became a despised thing there on the cross for you. Because it is by that you are saved. It is because Jesus became an abomination in the sight of God that you have God's blessing.
and that you will hear at the end of your life, "Well done, good and faithful servant." It's because of Jesus that you can put money in its proper place, and you can be received into the eternal dwellings because you don't put money first. In fact, you share with those in need. You take thought of the poor as a Christian, just as Amos describes in the Old Testament reading. Okay, I said I'd make it a short sermon, and, you know, it's about 15 minutes. Hope that isn't too long. But remember, you can't serve both God and money. And remember, Jesus became an abomination in the eyes of God, but after his death, after his resurrection, after his exaltation to heaven, he is highly exalted above all things. And in him, by God's grace and mercy, through faith in him, you're exalted too. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.